Hello and welcome to another episode of VG Club. I am your host, Daxter23Jack, aka Viv, and today I am joined by Ben, aka BGK394.
Hello.
Chris, aka Korea9.
Hey.
And Cool Luck, aka Marcus.
Hello, hello. You're not going to beat me into trying to speak Japanese on this one.
I don't think any of us can read or speak Japanese, to be fair.
Oh, and neither can I, and it wouldn't have gone over well.
I do just not like subtitle games.
No, I'm just saying, it would have been a real caricature and offensive one.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
It's just one of those things. Like, I played most of this game on like, not mute per se. I just didn't put on my headphones at all. I just, you know, played a podcast or whatever as I was going through it, because it was, yeah, entirely in that. And it, I guess for you, Dax, our game of the week, month, episode is was it Promise Mascot Agency?
Yep.
Yes, I was about to get that. Done by Kaizen Gameworks. There's an indie studio whose previous title was like a PS1 / like Dreamcast inspired like mystery game, and this is honestly completely different from that. There's still like you're uncovering a mystery, but they're like. You don't even control a character in this game. You just control like a car that you trick out with a bunch of like chitty chitty bang bang stuff.
Yeah, about that. Did you guys or did y'all know that we didn't control a character?
No,
I knew the game. I was like waiting. I was like, all right, well, I'm gonna get out of here soon. Control this dude.
You're just in that truck the entire. Like anytime you have to do anything, you're in the truck, which is funny. But I did not expect that.
Yeah, that was a surprise for me. It's an open world exploration game where you play a car is not what I expected out of this.
Yeah, no, I thought there was going to be more to it than the car. I knew there was driving segments in the game. I just didn't think that was where all the quote unquote like action agency mobility was going to take place.
Okay, good. I'm glad I wasn't the only one, like, just scratching my head for a while. I was like, oh, no. And especially the beginning, because, you know, we chatted a little bit about this in the channel, where I think Chris maybe had similar thoughts to me, where it's just, like, just a whole lot of visual novel stuff at the beginning of this game. I'm gonna drive a little bit, and then there's a whole bunch of cutscenes and talking, and I haven't really done anything yet.
There's a lot. Like, that first hour, maybe 90 minutes or so, is... It's a lot of story to kind of get you moving. It does eventually open up, but
yes,
yeah, it's very story heavy in the first
time. I was so worried. I was like, is this the whole thing? Fuck.
Yeah, it front loads you with a lot of stuff. I played the game like a little differently than everybody else. I tried to break the game. Because there's like here, I'll get into that in just a second. We should go ahead and set up what exactly Promise Mascot Agency is.
I'm still not sure.
Oh, okay, yeah. So your main character is a gentleman named Michi. He is a Yakuza lieutenant who is exiled to a cursed town. In order to turn a bankrupt mascot agency they own profitable, so they can pay back the people kind of gunning for them after a business deal goes horribly wrong. And Michi is the main character, but you're pretty much going to spend the entire game with a creature called a mascot, specifically Pinky, in the back of the truck.
And should probably explain that mascots in this world are like they're not people inside mascot suits. They are mascots are like actual creatures that exist.
Yeah, and Pinky just happens to be the child of a marshmallow mascot and a severed Pinky mascot, thus Pinky. So, and then, you know, when you run into her initially, she's running a love hotel and is absolutely miserable. And you turn, you turn it around, even though the decal of your agency forever resembles a love hotel. If you go upstairs in the agency, there's like a heart-shaped bed that spins, disco balls, that sort of stuff. But regardless, the entire game is kind of unraveling the mysteries of this small small town and kind of interacting with a small cast of characters: the corrupt mayor, the queer bartender who is the nephew slash niece of the corrupt mayor. You've got a I guess a foreign exchange teacher. I think she's from Britain. So you work with her, and then you work with somebody, and because I'm the names, I haven't played this game in like 8 weeks, so some of the names are escaping me. So I do apologize on that front. But and then you're also talking with a public servant who kind of works under the corrupt mayor and kind of working to kind of get town underneath his thumb, because a lot of funds have gone missing over the years. And and like members of the Yakuza family you belong to, because all the curse of the town is that all Yakuza men who go there eventually get sick, pass away. So a lot of the Yakuza people you interact with are all women. And yeah, I think that's the main story. You're just recruiting mascots to kind of turn a profitable agency. It is definitely not your normal like narrative premise for a game, but it's very unique in that regard, I suppose.
Yeah, it was unique, except for all the tropes. And the power of friendship. And just the same power old, same old. Yeah. That was like the ending little climax bit. That's how they overcame the odds against them.
I thought it was because the tournament organizers were members of the Yakuza Collective and were able to kind of put a stop to everything. Or are you talking about the final competition where everything stacked against them? Okay. I think I understand where you're coming from. It's just like, this isn't Kingdom Hearts. I just got done playing that. No.
Again?
Yeah, it was my first time playing it with my wife, so that was fun. But all that, and I've played through that game like at least 7 times over the years, so.
Thus the again?
Yeah.
But game, it's one of those things that, like, everything you just said, some of that sounded like, oh, this could be interesting. It never presents itself as being particularly interesting. To me, the most interesting bits are some of the characters, just their stories and their approach to life. Like, those bits are, you get a little bit more to chew on in that front, but there's never, like, a thrilling or engaging story, at least there wasn't for me. It was always just like, all right, can I get back on the road and start, like, you know, checking off those boxes again?
Mm. But yeah, and I mean, like, points. Yeah, this is a very, it's at its heart, this game is like a management sim. You're trying to turn this agency profitable. So, you know, the narrative kind of serves that point. And like, I kind of broke. I broke the game like before you get to a part where you start having to pay the Yakuza back money to keep rival Yakuza games off your matriarch's back, so to speak. Before I entered that cutscene, I just started doing a bunch of manager stuff, so I did most of the game before that point. And would like leave it running at some points while I went and did other stuff, and was able to build up a massive sum of money that way. I wanted to pay off the entire debt if possible, but what is it, 200 billion yen is a lot of money, it turns out.
Oh, it was that much? So, because, like, I only did that bit where they're like, yeah, 12 million yen to keep him off our back. And I just sort of did just enough to keep the keep it rolling so that they never got mad at her. And then eventually the game just said, oh, yeah, this doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah,
Did you know that was coming and that's what you planned for? Did you, like, look at a guide?
No, I entered the cutscene where they're planning it. I was just like, oh, well, maybe I can get away with, like, actually leaving the game while I'm doing, like, other tasks, like chores around the house, and I can just do that while the meters fill with all the different mascots working at the different agencies.
Oh, so, like, yeah. You bought all the sub agencies in the other towns that just generate you money?
Is that pretty much, and you can just, you know, leave the game on a day and night cycle, and it just gives you free money.
Got it.
Yeah, I definitely hit a point in the game where money was not an issue at all, because I was generating, like, 1 million yen a night, and then the expenses were, like, 200k or something like that. So I definitely also kind of broke the game in a way where I was just generating insane amounts of money really quickly, so money never became an issue at one point.
Yeah, it really felt like that was gonna escalate to a point, because, like, early on in the game there is that pressure. I didn't play it the way you did, Dex, so kudos, or my condolences, however it impacted your experience. But
honestly, it made things really simple and easy, but
gotcha. Yeah, well, the game was already simple, which is sort of my problem with it. That's some heavy lifting over there. The bit that I liked early on was there was that pressure of, like, hey, you got a lot of expenses, so you're really not getting too much money, you know, overnight. And oftentimes I was, like, losing money pretty early on. So it really encouraged, like, yeah, go explore the map, go get some more mascots, get them working. They gotta work if you want money. And so I was doing all that, upgrading the car to, like, make things easier and better, and like, you're, you know, slowly upping the percentages of, like, you get a little more fans, you get a little bit more money from this and that. And so I liked that grind. But then, you know, like Ben says, once you get to that point where now that initial obstacle isn't really there, and you're just sort of getting more and more money, and you're, you know, you're buying these upgrades and you're getting even more money after that, I really expected the game to do something else to, like, keep that part of the game engaging, rather than, oh yeah, by the way, you just the meter go up and that was the end of the story.
Yeah, and I mean, like, I will admit, Promise Mascot Agency is not a game without its faults. I think I prefer their previous title, Paradise Killer. I found that was a more, like, intriguing game and had a bit more, honestly, freedom to it. Even though, like, I guess you have, like, in the game, you have a lot of freedom when it comes to, like, navigating this, like, little island, this little village. You're driving around. You don't really have a lot of narrative freedom. Like, I guess you can decide, like, oh, do you want Pinky to win the election? Or, slight stuff like that. But there isn't really much, like, deviation in the narrative for most folk, I would imagine.
Was that a choice? I thought the game wanted us to do that, because, like, the Pinky sucks and the mayor sucks worse.
Oh yeah, the game wants you to do that, but you can just be like, oh, I don't care who's mayor, and just keep going. I didn't try to do that because the mayor sucks, but...
Right, I assume there'd just be, like, either an alternate bad ending or something if you'd, like, just let him win and hang on. I don't know if Ben or Chris, y'all do that?
So I didn't finish.
Ooh.
And... I'm about halfway through, I guess, maybe. I don't know.
Do you remember the last thing, the last story beat?
Yeah, so the last story beat is, like, I'm you know, with my Scooby-Doo gang, and we're trying to figure out the whole mystery of the curse. So the last thing was I visited the mayor, and he threatened to, like, call the Yakuza to, you know, tell them that I was still alive. That was kind of where it closed. Not closed, like, I was playing it this morning, but that was, like, where I left off this morning. So, I don't know. I got, like, 30 of the 50 achievements, so figure I'm about halfway done.
Okay. Yeah, you're kind of getting to the point in the story where, like, you know, you stop, the game's like, okay, you don't need to make payments anymore. This is all going to blow up in our face anyhow, so we might as well kind of hunker down for the cataclysm that's coming forth.
Got it. Yeah, there was, like, a point where, so I had, like, the quest, like, oh, you got to send money to, you know, whoever through the ATM, and then, so I did all that, and then that quest went away, and then Pinky just yelled at me. It's like, hey, you got to remember to send money. I'm like, shit, forgot about that. So, I figured it wasn't that important because they weren't bringing it up.
Well, they explain the, like, system with, like, the knife. It's like a meter, and the knife gets closer to your matriarch's head. That's bad.
Yeah. So I just didn't really care. It's like, I'm just driving around, grinding on the train tracks, and, like, blowing up trash piles and posters, and I enjoyed that. That was fun. I didn't really care about the other part.
It's a good podcast game, like, just, you know, exploring a very, you know, honestly tranquil, peaceful island. I mean, granted, it's fallen into kind of, you know, poverty, disrepair, but, you know, that's kind of your role in the game. You're kind of, like, even though you're a Yakuza, you're, like, supporting the town because you want to boost tourism to boost kind of, like, job opportunities on your end. So, kind of tit for tat sort of thing.
Yeah, that element of it I really did like the driving around, collecting stuff, cleaning up the town. Like, that whole side of the game was really, you know, fun and really engaging in a way, until it, you know, hit a point where, you know, there's, you know, it's not a very big map and there's not a lot you can do with it. So it definitely hits a point where it's like, okay, I'm kind of out of stuff to do. And I kind of just started fast traveling around instead of driving anywhere just because to get to, like, one area to another. But initially, like, that was really fun and engaging and kind of just, you know, turn off my brain and listen to a podcast and just drive around the town and, you know, hit all the signs, hit all the trash cans, collect all the stuff. Like, that was pretty good.
Go to each dot on the map that's like, there's this thing here. I want to go there because there's a thing there.
Yeah, and then getting all the upgrades for your truck, which is ridiculous at the end because you get just, like, wings and you can just glide around the town. Like, that was...
Oh, yeah. Like I said, I don't even... Ben, do you know what Chitty Chitty Bang Bang is?
I know the concept of it, yeah. There's, like, the weird car that has all the weird upgrades and stuff.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it is. I mean, you've got, like, a freaking cannon that you can use to launch your companion Pinky at just, like, anything from, like, trash to, like, spirits. Just, like, whatever. Gonna use Pinky as continuous ammunition. But yeah, no, that's basically kind of what it comes down to. After a while, yeah, you kind of just get to the point where it's like, okay, I think I've seen all this game is gonna show me, and kind of just want to get on with the narrative. So I definitely agree on that front. But I guess I'm Chris. Are you planning on finishing the game, or do you think you're done with it?
I mean, if you guys think, like, I'm reaching a point of no return, like, maybe I'm interested enough to see what the, like, mystery is. I'm sure it's not any, like, it. I'm sure it's exactly, like, how it's lining up. Like, it's not like this, oh, this, like, super secret story going on. Like, if you're playing along, you can kind of piece together where things are headed, but I'm interested enough to see, like, how they tell that story. So I'll probably keep going enough to at least do that.
Okay, so you would prefer to kind of be kept out of the loop, spoiler-wise?
No, I don't. Go ahead. That's fine.
Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, like, I think what Marcus said earlier, like, there's some tropes, you know. You've got this, like, overly ambitious, like, partner of yours who, you know, it's very obvious at an early stage that he's probably the guy who betrayed you. And, you know, he turns out to be very bloodthirsty, kind of hooks up with a rival Yakuza game that's kind of working with, like, arms dealers, like, in, I think, Korea or something like that. Regardless, these are the bad Yakuza, not the good Yakuza. And I mean, like, they kind of make a point. It's just like, oh, yeah, you know, since the matriarch kind of wants to make it so that, like, we run a casino and we can do most of our business kind of more on the quote unquote legit side of things instead of, you know, like peddling drugs or dealing, you know, weapons. And yeah, because of that, this young lieutenant that you who's your subordinate. It gets frustrated, betrays you, and then is kind of working with the corrupt mayor and this kind of the bad Yakuza guys to kind of take down your entire organization, because we would always put him down and never gave him a chance or the recognition he so rightfully deserved. So yeah, he was kind of a little annoying. Yeah, I think he was enamored with him, though.
Right. I think that's the problem with this, though, is that the story itself is so predictable in pretty much every regard. They'll like introduce new things and immediately tip their hand of like what the new thing is. It's just like, oh, okay. And then you like have to discover the same thing over and over again. Like you'll discover pieces of the town's mystery, and it's like, okay, yeah, so that's what's going on. You'll never guess what happens next. It's this. And it's like, yeah, you know, no, I know. Like, we just went over this. But what about this? Like, yes, it's the same thing. Like, why do we keep going over the same thing?
The curse was fabricated. All the Yakuza men died because they decided to make moonshine with contaminated mine water. The patriarchs of the family, the husband of the matriarch, and I think
I was purposefully not going beat by beat saying all the spoilers, because I don't think there's any real merit in discussing what those items are, because there's nothing there.
When it's the way they deliver it too, it's just like it's exactly what you said, Marcus. It's, oh man, like this, like, you know, Michi starts going, this curse doesn't really seem real, and then like the next thing you find out is like, yeah, everyone was dying because they were drinking shitty moonshine. Like, and the women didn't do it because they weren't the ones in the mine. And the leaders didn't do it because they had real alcohol. Like, it's like, oh, okay.
No, and it's just like a lot of these, you know, there was also like a mine accident that could have been prevented. But they were just like, oh, I've worked with corrupt union people before that have screwed over the little guy, and I was so we decided to go around that, and we didn't get like a safety inspector because, you know, we're Yakuza. And then a tsunami or something hit, and everybody in the mines passed away.
Right, and they were there trying to get their bonuses and yada yada yada. And so yeah, I mean, like from a top line level, you know, if you read it on a Wikipedia entry, you'd be like, oh, okay, that's a cool little story. You just beat you over the head with every little piece of this thing, and it's doled out in such small snippets that it's like, okay, why did we have this big old cutscene or like drive to this place for this mission just to get this tiny morsel of detail? It wasn't satisfying. I think that was my biggest problem with that. It's like, if you're gonna interrupt the gameplay, interrupt me like getting a bunch of stuff, then make it worthwhile. Don't just be like, oh yeah, click A a couple times here. All right, I guess you can drive across the map for the next mission.
No, yeah. And I mean, honestly, yeah. Like I said, this game is kind of in my rear view window, so to speak. I finished it up 8 weeks ago, so kind of remembering some of the particulars is getting more difficult for me, I would say. But honestly, there really isn't a lot to the game. Like the mask, the game kind of prioritizes like mascot culture in Japan, which, you know, every single like business, like small town, like government agency in Japan usually has like a mascot representing it. So it just kind of took inspiration from that for this game. And it'll have you doing like silly stuff like, oh, you know, you're doing a mascot event and the mascot gets stuck in the door or, you know, slips on a staircase. And then you kind of play this like little card game to see if the mascot succeeds or not. It's very, it's kind of like a foil, like, you know, a counter contrast to all the Yakuza stuff. Feels very asinine.
It's very weird. Also, I'm gonna admit, like, it took me way too long to figure out how to use the fucking cards. Like, I must have not paid any attention when they tutorialized it, because I'm like, all right, I got these five cards, I'm gonna play, and they were like, you're out of moves, and I'm like, what the fuck happened? Because I didn't realize that the one thing was like, this is how many, you know, hands it takes to play it. And then, you know, there's another thing under there, like, it'll, some cards return moves to you, some let you draw more. So it took me way too long to even figure out how to do that, and I didn't find any of that particularly fun after like the first couple times, because there's only so many times you can watch a mascot like stumble down a flight of stairs or get stuck, you know, in a gate or get chased by a dog or something before it's like, okay, well, this is the same again, just bigger numbers this time because it's worth more money.
They're like funny and silly the first handful of times, but you so much.
You can't skip it. You can't really skip them. And then it's just okay.
Yeah. And you see the same.
And I mean, like, you can it'll be like one out of four, maybe like even one out of eight times, like a mascot job will lead to like one of these like wacky scenarios. But you could just ignore them and continue to make money, but then you wouldn't get as much money from that particular job. And then your mascot might, suffer more dissatisfaction and might need to, you know, go on vacation sooner. And, you know, there's a lot of management aspects in addition to like upgrading your agency, upgrading other agencies, your kind of passive income or whatever. You also you have to decide like, oh, do the mascots, when you hire them on, do they get like a 10% bonus? Do they get vacation days? That sort of stuff. So that also changes the gameplay. Kind of how, you know, the mascot stuff shakes out, who's available for a given job, yada, yada, yada. But, yeah, I mean, like, honestly, I feel like, I mean, and this is, I think it should be mentioned that this is, while Kaizen Gameworks is a UK independent game studio, they worked with numerous kind of people in kind of like Japan, so it wasn't they've got like an entire Japanese dub, and I feel like they got a lot of the cultural aspects right. And, you know, there's a lot of cool stuff in this game. I mean, like, Michi is pretty much like an asexual protagonist, which honestly you don't get too many of those. And then Pinky's a bisexual baddie, so I mean, like, there's some cool stuff in here. But yeah, I don't think it's as inspired as their previous title, unfortunately. But I guess before we kind of got into like in-game spoilers, I mean, did any y'all have anything to add?
Wait, what do you mean before? We've spoiled the entire thing.
Oh, yeah, I guess. But I was going to talk about the in-game decision, but.
Oh, yeah, go ahead. No, nothing more to add from my end.
Okay. I guess Marcus, Ben, you both finished it, because it seemed like you finished it last night, right, Ben?
Yeah, I beat it last night.
Okay. Yeah, I was just curious what you did in the end. It's not much of an in-game decision. Like, you can either kill the the person that betrayed you, or you can let them go, or you can forgive them. I think that's another option.
Yeah. I mean, I forgave him because it's just the power of friendship. That they kept beating you over the head with it. So I'm like, well, that's what this dude would do. So, and there, yeah, there was, as we just saw, there was no consequences just before that. So I'm like, well, there's not gonna be any for this either.
Yeah, I also forgave him because that seemed like the move that he would do.
Yes, but I could. Oh, go ahead, Ben. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
I mean, the other options were like, either, you know, they kill him or they send him back to the rival Yakuza gang who also almost certainly going to kill him. So it seemed the only option to let him live would be to forgive him and let him rejoin their gang. And that just seemed like the move that he would do. Like, I don't think he'd just like leave him out to die or to kill him himself. So yeah, that's the choice I made.
Okay. Yeah. I cut him loose. I was like, have fun running from from the rival Yakuza game. You tried to join us from. I was kind of annoyed with him. I was just like, oh my God. And then just like, they really are beating you over the head with like, oh, Mitchie, like, maybe I should forgive him. Like, this is my fault. He was my subordinate. I should have been looking after him, you know, that sort of thing. And I was just like, no, this guy deserves everything he has coming to him.
So, a question for you. So, I'm assuming you're talking about the blood brother that you have,
yeah,
who, like, you make a decision at the beginning, which, do you make a decision? I don't remember now, on whether, like, they can beat him to death or at the beginning you're getting attacked, and, like, I think I made a choice of, like, save him or something. So, that all comes back circle at the end, right? Like, That's what happens there.
Yeah, because I offered to save him too. I feel like it might be one of those like non-choices where it won't let you. Like, you'd be like, oh no, I need to protect the money and the interest of the clan, and it's just like, no, he's getting beaten too much. I have to give up the money, you know, that sort of thing.
Got it. Okay.
I figured that's what was the case, but yeah, no. There's not a lot of like. Paradise Killer has a lot more like branching paths in terms of the narrative, like unraveling the mystery, deciding who to kind of like prosecute and hold responsible for the crime, what exactly happened, that sort of thing. And this game's a bit more just like, oh, we have a story we want to tell and you're along for the ride, literally.
But, what a ride it is with that truck.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, the truck is actually, I mean, like, pretty fun. I don't know. I kind of got used to just, like, I don't know. I got used to kind of just, like, gliding around the island with it, exploring everything. I mean, I platinum this game. Although, I might not like it as much as Paradise Killer, but I still had an enjoyable time with the game overall. And, yeah, I guess, I mean, like, we could talk about the music, but I feel like the music is pretty, I mean, it's there. I didn't. It wasn't anything too notable for me. I don't know if that was the same with any of you.
I mean, most video game music doesn't speak to me to begin with. So.
Oh yeah, and you're using this as a podcast game, like you said earlier. My bad.
Right. Exactly. So very early on, I'm like, oh, nope, haven't heard a thing they're saying anymore. At the end, I did because I was like in that final cutscene, like, well, let me listen to the end of the game. And then I remembered why I put it on mute to begin with.
Yeah, I don't really remember any of the music specifically. I was also kind of using this as a podcast game, so a lot of the voice acting and music and stuff was just kind of lost to me. But yeah, I also did enjoy driving around with the truck, especially once you got the glider wings. That was a very silly, goofy thing of like going fast traveling to like the top of the mountain and then just like jumping off and gliding around town. That was actually pretty fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The music was just kind of like background noise. Like, I,
Yeah.
I accidentally, like, I guess what, you can change the song by pressing, like, right stick in or something like that, which I did once, and I didn't even really realize that it had changed. Like, it all kind of just blended together.
Well, and you buy more CDs around the island. Like, there's, like, unique vending machines that sell, like, different, like, songs or, like, idol pop stuff, because there's also kind of, like, loyalty missions you can kind of do with each of kind of your confidants in the small town, and, like, be like, oh, I'm going to help you locate your anime collection that, like, a student stole from you and then scattered all around the town, or I'm going to find a bunch. Yeah, or I'm going to find a bunch of old, like, arcade machines out in the wild, like, buried in a mountainside, and I'm going to bring it to this guy who's trying to kind of revitalize and kind of preserve, this facet of, like, 80s, 90s culture.
What's kind of funny about what I found funny about that is that, you know, once the map opens up, like, you can kind of go start finding stuff. And I'm finding these arcade machines, and I'm finding the DVDs, and, like, Pinky's just going, I mean, there's trash all over this fucking island. Like, somebody probably wants it at some point. And eventually, like, the game guy opened up, and I found the teacher, and I already had all their shit. Like, it was just, like, it wasn't really like a quest. It was just like, all right, well, I'll just go through the five different dialogues for you, I guess. And get the achievement.
Oh, and there's a lot to like about this game, but there's also a lot of flaws. I cannot more than understand where Marcus is coming from regarding the game, but I don't have a ton else to add. Before we go into our final thoughts, did any of y'all want to add anything?
I did. So, if at the end of the game it came down to your blood brother or Pinky, one must go, who would y'all choose?
Okay. I would choose Pinky and get rid of the blood brother easy. Pinky's a little annoying, but she's pretty badass.
I mean, who else am I going to shoot out of my truck?
Like, yeah, blood brother.
That would be funny. You just start shooting him out of your cannon. That would be great.
Isn't forgiveness grand? You know, just like him, like, broken and battered in the back of the truck. Like, no, not again. Not again.
I think for me, I had Pinky, because I spent so much time with her, and she was always doing her little flip-off animation or stance, not even really an animation. Just all the time, and I was just like, I need you to chill for a second. I'm just trying to get through this game. Please stop making these encounters longer than they need to be. And then when you get to, like, the mayoral campaign race, like, 80% of those sequences go the same. You just change, you know, like, the one little choice and the resulting thing from that. But
yeah, there's the correct answer, and everything right. else pisses off your constituents or potential constituents.
Right, and then, like, the reactions from, like, the mayor and Pinky are almost identical every time. I'm just like, I'm just, please, God, stop it. And so I feel like if I were to sacrifice Pinky at the altar, I would be free from that curse.
it's the one true curse of the island, is Pinky.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, you don't want that thing haunting you. And it feels like that would be a fate worse than death. So yeah, keep her around on the mortal coil, because she's even scarier in her spirit form.
Well, that one spirit mascot was, like, not spooky at all.
The one that was like...
Is that the one you find in the tunnel?
Yeah, that one. Hmm. Like, I forget, like, you know the sound effect I'm trying to mimic. Like, I kind of, like, almost, like, dial-up-y. Like, every time it opens its mouth.
Yeah. I didn't understand what was going on with that one.
But Yeah, no, that's on anybody else before we get into our final thoughts?
I was trying to think what my favorite god was. I think it's one of the favorite mascot, and I tipped my hand there. It's one of the gods.
God, mascot, same thing.
Yeah, the bro one who just like, yeah, man, I'm just out here in like the nether. That dude is great.
Oh yeah, no, yeah, like you help him set off, kind of get surf lessons started up, and I'm just like,
awesome. Okay, so he really was doing like a surf shop. Okay, I like in my brain that's what I had written down, but I'm like, I don't know if that's truth, but that's what I'm going with the canon. But yeah, I liked some of those mascots and some of those interactions were good. It's things would just take longer than they needed to. Was my problem with so much of the game. Like, let me just go at my pace, not your pace.
No, and that god you're talking about, Fujin-kun or whatever. Whereas like Raijin-kun was the one that was a bit more. He needed hobbies, so you taught him the drums.
I don't think I even got like maxed out his life satisfaction little line.
I like the one that looks like the creature from Princess Mononoke. It's got like the weird goofy face and it doesn't talk at all. It just talks like in weird like bumbling noises. You get pretty late. That one.
Oh yeah, that one. The one that actually has a role in the story that was constructed, the Tanuki thing.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
That one's kind of cute looking.
Yeah, some of them are real freaks. And I wish could have dressed them up differently.
Like, what? Who is it? I think it's Ko? No, not Kofun. The freaking bear mascot that has, like, yam all over it that looks like something else, and he's just like, I'm into the adult porn and it's just like, okay.
Yeah, that one was weird.
Yeah, the game's occasionally very horny for itself.
I was wondering who that was for.
I don't know. I mean, some of it is amusing, some of it is like, this is a bit over the top. Like, it's not hitting for me, but somebody's gonna find it enjoyable, I guess.
Maybe furries.
Maybe.
It's that meme about the writer's thinly veiled kinks, but the dev's thinly veiled, completely on display actually kinks.
there's no veil.
Yeah. Oh god, it's everywhere. And you'd never clean it up off yourself. Oh, wow. And it's on your eye. Oh. Ooh.
Yeah, because one was just like it covered in cum, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it was supposed to be yam, but yes, it is obviously. Sure. Yeah.
So you know what? I mean, I appreciated playing this game. Overall, it's like, hey, this was like a different experience. It didn't. Like I would have preferred it was like 6 hours long, not the, I think I put 14 hours in it total. I think that's what the in-game clock said there at the end. But I feel like, yeah, you guys had enough game for about 6 hours, and you should have stopped.
Maybe I'm further along than I think then. So
you're getting towards the end. You're not even halfway. You said you're halfway. You're towards the end. I think you're probably the 7/8 mark.
So when we talked about it, when we picked it the last time, it was like, oh, it's about 20 hours. And I was like 11 in. And I was like, all right. I mean, maybe about halfway. And it seems by what Marcus is saying, I'm probably nearing the end, and where you guys know where I'm at in the story. Like, I'll probably finish it very shortly then.
Yeah. I mean, like the completionist is like run doing everything, getting the platinum is probably around like 21 hours. Okay. And the main story is just 12 hours, so yeah.
Okay.
Like honestly, if you have one more play session, you might be able to just finish it up.
Got it.
But yeah, no, I think I'm kind of there with Marcus. I'm glad I'm glad I played this game, but there's not as much drive to the narrative as I wanted out of this game, and it ended up just kind of being a chill podcast game for me. Just exploring the island, kind of just something to do, have fun flying around in your chitty chitty bang bang car, and then yeah, just interacting with all the island villages as citizens. It was all cool, but I would probably recommend Paradise Killer over this any day of the week. What about you, Ben?
I think ultimately I like the game. I think Marcus is right. If like it's maybe a bit too long for its own good, like they could have shaved off a few hours of the story and made it a little more tighter experience. But I mean, ultimately, I think it's a decent little like open world exploration, almost collect-a-thon style game with some pretty interesting like management sim stuff going on. Like I enjoyed cleaning up the town. I enjoyed seeing like a lot of this town and stuff kind of like come back to life, like as you like open new shops and stuff like that. Like a lot of the like dead downtown area kind of like comes back to life. Like that's a cool little bonus touch that they do. So yeah, I mean, interesting progression, but like yeah, maybe a bit too long for its own good.
Okay. And yeah, Chris, I know you're not 100% done with your game, but what are your final thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, this is not a game I would have probably ever chosen on my own. So one, I'm glad that like that's what we're doing here is like, you know, sometimes getting us out of our comfort zone. I enjoyed the open world portion. I enjoy that there's like a ton of meters that just fill up. Like that's satisfying. It's really fun, like hitting a bag of trash or one of the signs and just seeing it go from like 87.3 to 87.6. Like it's stupid, but it's like, yeah, making that number go up. That's like
dopamine receptors.
Yeah, it's like super satisfying. It's like I want to go find more now because so like earlier today, I'm just like driving along and like you know, there's a bag of trash, so I shoot Pinky at it, and then I see another bag of trash. I'm gonna just go out on this beach, and they're all bags of trash, and I'm just like driving around like a lunatic, like filling them all up. Like it hits that right kind of satisfying fill the meter type level of fun there. I didn't enjoy the management stuff, but whatever, it's fine. I enjoyed it enough that I'm probably. You guys saying I'm almost done. Probably, you know, once my Steam Deck recharges, play a couple more hours on it and hopefully wrap it up. But yeah, it was a good time. Not my type of game, but a good time.
One other thing I wanted to touch on, the budget and lack thereof shows pretty heavily in this game. And while I give them kudos for like what they managed to pull off with what was clearly a limited budget, I do, you know, wonder like what could have been. I feel like with more budget, it could have just been a little bit more satisfying, both in like the moment-to-moment gameplay, but also just like with the town coming back to life, like actually seeing people there, not just sort of like ghost figures that are just more populous now. Things like that, I think, would have been a little bit more rewarding, and then some of the cutscenes maybe would have been a little bit more engaging if there's actual cutscenes and not just sort of images and certain poses being cycled through.
Well, more than fair, but yeah, that's Promise Mascot Agency. It's definitely a unique title, and if any of what we said appeals to any of the listeners, I would definitely recommend checking it out, but maybe wait for a slight discount. I think that would that be fair to say?
Yeah, I think we all bought it on discount, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I bought it full price.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Thank you for your sacrifice.
Well, I just wanted to support the studio. I like their studio as a whole, but yeah, that's Promise Mascot Agency. And for this, for our next episode, Ben is choosing our game. And while a lot of us have voted already, it looks like the choices are between Blossom Tales, The Sleeping King, Child of Light, Lost in Random, Plague Tale: Innocence, and Eastward.
Yep.
And yeah, I guess just Ben, what were your icons? Like, what kind of emojis did you use?
Oh, I'm the little alien.
So, okay.
Yeah, I voted already. Yeah.
Okay.
Think,
yeah, Eastward seems like it's supposed to be like a Zelda like ish game, right?
Yeah, it's like a awesome top down Zelda game, and Blossom Tales is also that. Yeah, technically.
Okay, and then I haven't heard of Blossom Tales: The Sleeping King. What is that?
Like a Zelda-like. I own the game, but I actually haven't played it. All I know is that it's kind of like a top down Zelda-like, kind of like Eastward.
Okay. All right, and yeah, I think everybody, including Javi, has already voted, correct?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, and yeah, Javi couldn't be with us this week, so hopefully we'll have him here on the next episode. But yeah, if everybody's already voted, it seems like Lost in Random has won by a wide margin, and it's currently on sale for like $450 on Steam. So honestly, that's a good deal. I think I'm gonna go ahead and just grab that.
It's also
EA Play.
Yeah. So if you have Game Pass or EA Play on PlayStation, it's there. Or PC, I think it's also there. So
yeah.
Yeah.
That's I had started it like, you know, just basically doing the intro bits. I'm like, oh, this is interesting, and then I dropped it. Never came back.
Okay. Well, I just bought it, so that will be Lost in Random will be our game for next month. Thank you so much for joining us today for another episode of VG Club. Thank you, Marcus. Thank you, Ben. And thank you, Chris. And yes. This is VG Club, and we are out. Say goodbye, Marcus.
Goodbye, Marcus.